Whether you're a fan of bourbon, scotch, tequila, rum, gin, whatever it is, VSLiquor.com has you covered. And here's the best part. Don't leave your home. VSLiquor.com is the most reliable alcohol delivery there is. Make sure to type in the code SPORTS when you check out, and you'll get 15% off your initial order. VSLiquor.com, proud partner of the Sliwa Show. All right, LA, thank you very much for tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Looking forward to tonight's show, and let me welcome in Kirk Morrison. What's going on, Kirk? How you doing, buddy?
Sliwa, what's going on, my man?
You know what? We're here, Kirk. We are here, my friend. I mean, we got, by the way, just to let listeners know, lined up tonight, Marley Rivera, national baseball writer and reporter for ESPN. She's coming up at 7. Mark Spears, who's inside the bubble, a senior NBA writer for ESPN's The Undefeated. We'll talk some basketball with him coming up at 8 o'clock. But, Kirk, let's do this, because for those who don't know, Kirk Morrison graduated from San Diego State University, obviously played football there, was in the NFL. How many years were you in the league? 8 years?
8 years in the National Football League.
All right, 8 years in the NFL. What I'm hoping to do tonight, Kirk, at least to start off the show, and we got plenty of baseball to talk about, plenty of NBA to talk about. Can you kind of give us the latest and the lowdown? Because you also do shows for SiriusXM for the NFL channel. Just give us kind of an idea what's going on with the NFL, because I feel like there is a the perception right now is that the NFL is unprepared. Is that a fair perception to have, or do you think that the NFL is just kind of trying to play things out, do it the right way? Timing is everything. How do you feel of where the NFL is right now?
I think, you know, honestly, right now the NFL is, they've had a lot of time to gather a ton of data, but I honestly believe that they were not ready for the uptick in coronavirus cases that came back and hit the U.S. in mid-July through late June, early and mid July, and kind of where we're at right now. So there's a lot going on right now in terms of the NFL, in that the players union and the NFL owners have basically come to an agreement, right? So we know of how the NBA came to an agreement quickly, players and owners, that they were going to have a restart. It was pretty peaceful. We saw what Major League Baseball had to go through, and there was some, you know, bickering, some fighting back and forth, some words being said. And
this has more similarities to that, you know, if we're comparing between the sports. There is some baseball aspect to it, not apples to apples, but you know what I'm referring to.
Correct. No, there's some because you had the back and forth, and baseball ended up, you know, figuring out, like, we better do something, and they finally agreed, and, you know, they'll be starting with 2 days, right? 2 days from tomorrow, from today, actually, when the Giants and Dodgers and Yankees and Nationals play. So I'm excited about that. But when it comes to the NFL, there was a lot that was on the table. And what happened was the training camps were due to open July 28th. But also, too, there were, you know, a couple teams that you're allowed to have your rookies report early. And there was just a whole bunch of just unknowns, right? Things that just weren't taken care of. And you saw a tweet storm, a calculated tweet storm from the players on Sunday. And you saw all types of players, you know, former Ram Todd Gurley, he was tweeting about, you know, the NFL. We want to play, but we need better, you know, playing conditions, better protocol when it comes to COVID-19 testing. Jared Goff was one of them. Johnny Hecker.
What's the game plan, right? I mean, you saw J.J. Watt a few days prior to that come out with a long thread on Twitter of, yes, we want to play, but this is what we know to this point. It obviously wasn't enough. Sunday was another onslaught of players. That's the one part that I see the similarities between baseball and football, Kirk, where players started using social media as a way of expressing their opinion.
Yeah, and the thing about it was, look, they were going to get things done, and just there was just some concessions that needed to be made beforehand. And so this is what happens over the last couple of days. First, it went from 4 preseason games. Then it was down to 2 preseason games. And of recent, it was recommended by the Players Association that they wanted 0 preseason games. And the owners basically said, we'll give you 0 preseason games now.
Then that was just recently, right?
That was actually agreed upon last night. that was sent over from the players. Then the owner said they agreed to it today as well. So it was is now being finalized that there will be zero preseason games this year. So that was one thing in which the players wanted. But then also, too, the players wanted, you know, testing, COVID-19 testing every day.
I mean, they wanted
to get that stepped up.
Before you get into the testing, let me stay real quick on the preseason games for a quick second. So I remember you and I doing a show. We did a show, I want to say, on the day they went from four preseason games, cut it in half down to two, right?
Correct.
And
yeah,
you started explaining and kind of breaking down. Here's the reality. In those preseason games, so, you know, obviously the Rams, the Chargers, any of these NFL teams, their main players only play a very limited amount of time in preseason games to begin with. That was, you know, one of the points that you were making to me. So I guess my question is this, before we go on to the testing, before we go on to what the NFL is going to do to make sure that decrease the chances of anybody having COVID-19 or playing if they do have COVID-19, are players going to be ready without preseason? Like, this has never happened before. So the NBA we've talked about, I know the NBA and the NFL are so different, but they're going to have three exhibition games, eight regular season games, and then the playoffs are going to start.
Correct.
Do you feel that not having any preseason games, take yourself back to when you were, you know, a player in the league, what is that going to do to the play, number one, or probably more importantly, what's that going to do to some of these players' bodies as far as increasing their chances of potential injuries? I mean, I imagine those things got to be concerns as well.
Well, then that's part of what the players are still working on right now, a little piece of it. There won't be any preseason games, but now we're just trying to figure out, okay, what will the owners agree upon for the players in terms of the acclimation period. I think right now the players want to have 3 weeks of conditioning and weightlifting and just getting testing going in the right way. Then after that, having some on the field practices with just helmets on, right? Just some instruction like that. And then finally having the full padded practices. It's just figuring out how many days for each part or each phase of the training camp now that will have no preseason games. So now that has to be agreed upon between the owners and the players. Because look, there could be a situation where you may have some more live contact scrimmages, more practices. You know, what is it going to be fair enough that the players and owners can agree upon? But that's the biggest thing right now coming out of not having the preseason games is what's the next protocol, the acclimation period. You've talked about it, you know, with the Lakers and the restart over in Orlando, right? That's what's going on right now over there. They had the acclimation period, which was just basically small practices, a lot of individual work. And then now we go into the phase of scrimmage basketball, which starts tomorrow, I believe, for the NBA. And they'll have a couple of scrimmages over the next 4 to 5 days, I believe, mm-hmm. before they're ready to tip off next Thursday for the official restart of the NBA. So similar to the NBA, similar to Major League Baseball, the NFL is just trying to get their actual protocol. And I get it. I understand it. Like, you want to know, hey, how are we going to do this? There's a ton of rookies and a lot of players who just haven't, you know, been a part of NFL practices, who haven't been a part of NFL facilities, and yet they have to get acclimated pretty quickly if they want to be key contributors to a football team this season.
So, Kirk, this is one of the things that I think we're hearing a lot of this right now about the NFL, about, okay, well, you know what, how are they not prepared? Patrick Mahomes sent out a tweet last week basically saying we've had this much time and this is where we are right now. And I think it's fair for you to say, nobody really thought COVID-19 cases in the States, nobody thought we'd be breaking records on a daily basis now. You know what I mean?
Correct.
Maybe you thought that was going to be the case early on. You were unprepared. You didn't really know what was going on. But now, as we're kind of distancing ourselves from when the first COVID-19 case was in the States, which was back in, I think, February, maybe late January, something along those lines, I understand when the NFL wasn't, you know, prepared for something like this. But with that all being said, I try to give the NFL the benefit of the doubt, because this is what does the league make, $15 billion a year?
Somewhere around there. I just know it's between 9 and 13, and maybe a little bit more, closer to 15. I just know it's a lot of money that now they won't be, you know, taking in that amount this season because of lost revenues, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because of, you know, obviously the pandemic, you know, the draft has something to do with it. And then also now not having the four preseason games and the television dollars that come for that, the no fans, right? That's another thing. So there's a lot of things that are still needing to be ironed out. The NFL training camp, remember, is not set to open yet, right? All that's going on, right, over the last couple of days, and rightfully so, you understand that you want to be on the same page, players and owners. But the official dates had not even started yet to where you would fear like, oh, my God, they're going to, you know, strike or they're going to lock out or they won't start on time. Everything is still right now on par to start. There's just going to be very different. You mentioned no fans. You've also mentioned that there are going to be no preseason games. And then right now, what really the players were really talking about when their tweet storm was just about, they want better testing. They want testing that when the training camps are open, that they're able to get tested daily. Okay, for a lot of players who have been exposed or don't want to expose their families, because players are going to be able to go home.
So let's be next to their wives and kids and parents.
They don't want to bring that stuff home.
Let's do this, Kirk, because I know there's a lot more updates on the testing front. How much money the NFL is going to spend to, you know, obviously do everything they can to try and control COVID-19. So let's kind of break that down when we come back, because I think this is good. I think there's a lot of listeners out there. We're reading some of these articles. We have somewhat of an idea what the NFL is doing, but for the most part, it's a moving target. So we'll explain the testing when we come back. Plus, I don't know if you guys got to hear this. Mark Davis, owner of the Raiders, says the NFL has three options for this upcoming season. We'll break that down as well. Marley Rivera coming up at 7 o'clock to chat some baseball with us, talk some Los Angeles Dodgers. All that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we appreciate you guys tuning in. Got Dodgers and Angels playing right now as well. So this is another scrimmage for them before their showdown starting on Thursday against the Arizona Diamondbacks, a four-game set. Kirk, we were talking, and I want to set this up because one of the big questions right now on the NFL front, before we get into baseball, Marley Rivera, who covers national baseball writer and reporter for ESPN. She comes up at 7, so we'll spend a lot of time hitting on baseball from there. Big news with the Dodgers, optioning Gavin Lux, so we'll get into that. But before we do, so for football fans that are out there, those that are very curious to see what happens with the Rams and the Chargers this year and just the NFL in general, the league, we know this from a testing perspective. So they're going to spend $75 million, according to the Sports Business Daily, to make sure they're testing frequently. And we all know this, and I think this is the same thing, not just for the leagues, but just for the country in general. Everything comes down to testing. The more testing that you do, the more accurate you know of who has COVID-19. It helps you with tracing. That's why so far in the NBA, that's kind of been the foundation of what they're doing. It's all about testing. What's the latest for the NFL as far as testing goes?
Well, testing right now, it's going to start as if, you know, basically – he's going to be testing every day. So it's going to go like similar to you walk into walk to the facility, and teams have set up these outdoor trailers that you can walk in, get tested. After you get tested, you could turn back. You had to turn back around and go home. And next day you come back, get tested again. You're not allowed into an NFL facility right now currently until you have two negative tests consecutively. So that's the protocol right now. After that, you're allowed to go into the facility and start with some of the instruction that it's allowed for rookies. And then we'll see when the veterans are supposed to report in about 10 days next week sometime, just depending on which team that is. My thing is, and I want to just give you and you kind of pull the curtain back, I should say.
Sure,
here, Alan.
Sure.
And I want to make sure I say this, and people out there understand it. Hopefully you can understand it as well, that do not be alarmed by the number of tests that will come up positive for NFL players.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to be a ton of tests. And even so far, in just the 2 days of testing so far, it was reported that it was 95 tests that came back positive. But now it's been corrected. It was actually 59 tests, not 95, but 59 tests have come back positive. I've been telling people I will not be surprised at the number of tests that will come back positive, because I think a lot of players are asymptomatic, number one. But I think a lot of players, too, don't necessarily have the available or accessible testing.
Mm-hmm.
I put myself back in my shoes when I was 23, 24 years old, when I was a young player in the National Football League. And I'll tell you this. I did not have a primary care physician. Right. I didn't have my own primary doctor.
Sure.
Outside of the facility. A lot of teams, and this is goes for a lot of sports, players of their respective teams, they just go to the facility. They just go to their club's facility and just say, hey, I want to go see Doc. And they'll say, all right, Dr. B in today. And you use the team doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, I didn't have to go to my local hospital. I didn't have to go to, if I lived in L.A., right, I wouldn't have to go to Cedars, right, or Kaiser, whatever hospital that you have to go to.
That it would be the equivalent of us going to work and there's a doctor waiting for us anytime we want to see him.
Anytime you want to see him. Doctors out there waiting for you. Well, during this pandemic, right, facilities were shut down. Okay, players were not allowed in facilities. They weren't allowed to see, you know, some of the doctors, or just the normal that was, you know, given to them every single day was taken away because of the pandemic. And now that the NFL has passed the protocol for testing, there's a lot of players who are now easily accessible to testing. I don't believe that players, and I'm putting myself in those shoes at that time when I was that age, I don't believe that with all the COVID-19 that's going around, I would have been one to go find out where can I go find a test.
Sure.
Or where can I go get a physician to give me a letter and to go get tested. I don't believe players would do that. They were just, hey, I'll self-quarantine and figure it out. And so now.
So a lot of these players, this may be the first time they've ever got tested once they do get tested.
Yes.
And that's why you're probably going to see a high number, which, by the way, I mean, this is all kind of part of it is figuring out and weeding out players that, okay, they were asymptomatic or at some point they had COVID-19 or they have it now.
Right.
So when you say that there's going to be probably a high number of athletes that come back with some kind, you know, with some kind of positive test, I see what you're saying. That makes sense. I mean, the issue would be is if you're in the middle of the season and all of a sudden you have all these positive tests. Like the one thing about the NBA, 346 players being tested for COVID-19, none of them came back positive. They're in the bubble now. You know what
right.
I mean? So like this is – that's. I'm not saying it's going to be perfect like that every time, but that is kind of – this is the whole hope of what they're building. This is why they've gone to this measures to go to play all these games in Orlando, in Disney World, and have it so quarantined. In Major League Baseball, low number as well. The one fear with baseball – is they've got great percentages right now so far on COVID-19. The issue, Kirk, is this is without travel yet, right? So
correct.
This is the Dodgers haven't gone to Texas to play the Rangers or Houston to play the Astros or Arizona to play the Diamondbacks. They haven't got on a plane yet. They haven't been on the bus. They haven't. So there's going to be a lot more challenges that happen with Major League Baseball that the NBA is technically, because of their game plan, they don't have to deal with. So I think it lowers the risk of COVID-19. The NFL is going to be one of those question marks too, where they'll do the best they can, the $75 million, everything else, but they're not going to be in a bubble as well.
No. They're going to find ways to keep guys at the facility for a long time and just trying to make sure guys are responsible. That's what if I'm a head coach, that's what I'm telling my team, Alan. I'm telling my team now, hey, guys in this room, we have to be responsible for each other. So that's staying away from people who possibly could have COVID or putting ourselves in a situation to where we could get COVID and then come back to a facility. And then now what happens? You're hurting the fellow person next to you. But these NFL protocols are now helping out the NFL players to where the testing before you walk in the facility, they must be taken before you walk in, which I think is a great part. And then they're finding ways to social distance within a locker room, within a facility. So there is look, I'm happy where the NFL is at right now because they've come together and they figured this thing out. I just know that in the days to come with the reporting of the veterans, we are going to see some numbers and people are going to say, why are they playing? Why are they doing this? And I'm going to say, that's just, those are confirmed cases. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that they're going on ventilators. That don't mean they're going to hospital. These guys are going to quarantine, get it all figured out, and then come back and they'll have so hopefully a couple of negative tests in a row and things will be fine. I told you, I am not surprised, and we'll see more of that because I think what happens is now we've seen in our country, what's forced people to go out and get COVID-19 tests? It's the fear that, oh, I don't have symptoms, but now I'm being told that I still could have COVID-19 even though I have no symptoms. Mm-hmm. And the fear of that has forced so many people to do what? Go out there. Let me just get tested. Let me just make sure. Let me see if I have it. And man, that's why these cases are rising. But the death rate, the things that are that were climbing like crazy have now started to go down, actually. Mm-hmm. Like the mortality rate is down. You just don't want to be the one that has the underlying conditions that will force you to be on a ventilator and things like that. So, yes, it is something that you don't want to have, you don't want to get. And that's why I think the NFL and its players and its union and the owners have come to an agreement on the proper testing that is needed just to get to training camp, just to get through halfway through training camp and then sort of reassess where they are.
All right, so Mark Davis, owner of the Raiders, was on ESPN.com in an interview. This was on Sunday, right, Kirk? This was a conversation he had on Sunday, and I know a lot has changed since then. But he says the NFL has three options. Let me actually read these out because, you know, you could tell me if this is still viable or not. One was go on as planned with teams reporting for training camp over next week and see what happens. I think it's safe to say that with now no preseason games, obviously things are going to be adjusted. The other was delay the start of the season until November and go to a 12-game season, canceling each team's four interconference games. So for the Raiders, they had four. You know, it was, I think, Carolina, Atlanta, New Orleans, and Tampa Bay. Is that what you see? I mean, is you think that's a strong alternative, strong option that you're going to eventually have to reduce the amount of games that you play this year, and you're probably going to have to push out the start of the season as well?
Yeah, but it's just the way that the NFL season is kind of set up. It's definitely, it can happen. But now we're talking about now only playing just conference games, no out of conference games. The lost revenue, I think that there's some options.
Kind of similar to baseball, right?
You know, yeah,
where baseball is just AL West, NL West for the Dodgers. You're going to play predominantly your division, but then you'll play some of these regional games. I don't think that's that far-fetched. You know what I mean? Kirk, use college football as an example. If the Pac-12 plays, Pac-12, USC is not going to be playing Alabama this year. They won't be playing Notre Dame. So isn't that kind of taking a piece out of some of these other leagues out there?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it's taking pieces out, but everybody's going to be different, right? Everybody has a situation now that they have to figure out what's best for them, their organization, their school, university, all of that right now because I'm just kind of looking – and Mark Davis, he's been speaking more so as a fan. He's been speaking, you know, from the heart. And I think, you know, people are falling in love with that. When the voting came out of in terms of, you know, seating capacity at Allegiant Stadium and should there be fans or no fans or, you know, reduced capacity, what should it be? And Mark Davis, he was just one of 32 that didn't vote. He was just one. 32 owners, and he was just the only one that voted no. Everyone else is voting yes on all of this. So Mark Davis kind of being a renegade. You know, I love Mark Davis, by the way. He was a great owner his dad, Mr. Davis, was the guy who drafted me, but Mark was there every step of the way. I have a great relationship with him. But I think he understands that right now that the NFL startup is not going to be very fan-friendly. And we're talking about a guy who has waited his whole entire life to have a stadium built for the Raiders. And he finally has it built. And now there's probably going to be a situation where there's no fans can attend. That's hard for someone to have to deal with.
All right. We're going to shift gears here. And we'll get back to the NFL because I do want to Kirk, a little bit later, I want to get a chance to chat about Sean McVay kind of taking a page out of Kyle Shanahan's approach. I also want to talk about the news from SoFi Stadium about there's an update on ticket holder plan for 2020 season. So we'll do that a little bit later in the show. But we're going to shift to baseball here. Marley Rivera, national baseball writer and reporter for ESPN. She's coming up next. I got to ask her. So much conversation now between the Dodgers and the Yankees. Which team, and ESPN's been doing this as well, just kind of getting all these expert thoughts. Who's the favorite walking in? If she had to pick one of those teams, would she take the Dodgers or would she take the New York Yankees? Plus, just her thoughts on the Dodgers optioning Gavin Lux. We'll do all that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show. Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison on 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, we're just 2 days away from Major League Baseball starting. Got the game on in the background right now. Angels and the Dodgers playing each other in another exhibition game. Want to welcome in Marley Rivera, national baseball writer and reporter for ESPN. Marley, first of all, thank you for taking the time to do this. And second, I'll just get right into it. How excited are you to have some baseball coming back here in the next couple of days?
I have to say, first of all, thank you so much for you guys to have me in Howdy, L.A. But I think that there's a balance that you have to strike that is very difficult, right? Mm-hmm. Like at this point, we're in such a terrible situation. It is the middle of a pandemic. And then at the same time, we need hope and happy things to look forward to. So it's almost like that balance, right? As you guys well know, I live in New York City. So we had, mm-hmm. One of the toughest times under this pandemic, exactly 111 days, right, of being this terrible, terrible place. So now the news of it being baseball and the Yankees being on opening day and the Mets playing on Friday is just pure joy. Like all these people that actually are going to have something to look forward to.
Marley, I do want to ask you about who's throwing out the first pitch. I know we never talk about who's throwing out the first pitch for an opening day, but Dr. Anthony Fauci throwing out the first pitch for Yankees and Nationals. How about that? Like, what is that? What's the significance of that? And actually, after that first pitch, like, what's the feeling you think going to be?
Well, first of all, we all know, right, that it's going to be very strange with no fans in the stands, right? Like, that is number one. But certainly under this situation, with this, kind of freak situation that we're in, that we don't know what it's going to be like, right? Like, as you guys both know, I'm on my way right now to Washington, D.C. I'm in a car. It's like, this is what we're doing. We don't know what to expect. And to have someone like Dr. Anthony Fauci, who has been a hero, for all of us, especially in New York and his relationship with Andrew Cuomo, the governor, and how, we are doing well in New York because of that. It's just so special, right? Especially for New Yorkers and for people, for Yankee fans that are going to watch this guy. I don't know that they'll be very happy because Dr. Fauci will be wearing a mask with the Nats logo, and the Washington Nationals called him National Superfan, Anthony Fauci. But yeah, it's a very clear message that Major League Baseball wants to, move forward in this pandemic, but at the same time to do it safely.
Marley Rivera, national baseball writer and reporter for ESPN, taking some time to join the Sliwa Show. Marley, first of all, anytime you're on a road trip, just call us in. All right, if we can, anytime you're on the road, just shoot us a call.
Well, kids, you do know that we're going to be doing a lot of driving because one of
that's
the
right.
reasons at ESPN, there's things on the way we're going to cover things because we have to abide by the new way that we do things is that we prefer us not to fly. So it's one of those things, right? I cover the Yankees, but I'll just be driving to the locations, kind of that are drivable. The flights are not something. But, yeah, so there'll be a lot of calls. So if you leave your phone on, I'll definitely call you.
I'll be ready. hey, I want to ask you, the conversation, really, and I know once the season starts, anything can happen. This happens so often in sports where you think it's this is a two-horse race. It's just going to come down to the Yankees. Yeah. And it's going to come down to the Dodgers. Going into the season – and I know ESPN had an article on this, just kind of who would be their favorite. As best as you can, looking at what the Dodgers have, how deep that they are, and then obviously the strengths of the Yankees, who would you say, walking into the year, if you had to pick a favorite, would you give the Dodgers the edge or would you give the Yankees the edge?
You know, I'm going to say this because I'm on the record, right? We have to submit our predictions. So they're actually just out there. So the fact that if I say something that goes against that would have already written, that would look very much like a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? The truth is that in a 60-game season, you know, the team that was favored in a 162 season, talent is talent. It doesn't matter if you're playing 60 or 162, right? So you mentioned the two, you know, the two powerful people, you know, teams that are going to be there. And I picked, as you mentioned, no surprise, the Yankees and the Dodgers to be in the World Series, but I picked the Dodgers to win, which means, you know, I'm going against a lot of people who firmly believe that the Yankees will win. And I know that the Yankees signed Gerrit Cole. I know. And now I know that David Price will not be pitching for the Dodgers. So that's a big hole in there. But I don't know what it is. I feel like the Dodgers are due. And I also feel, well, I think everyone in LA thinks that. And I do think that Dave Roberts is a man with a mission. And I think that the Dodgers are going to take advantage of this time. And coming out of the gate in a 60-game season, the Dodgers can do it in the NL West, you know, a little bit easier than the Yankees will playing the AL East and the NL East, the two toughest divisions in baseball.
You know, Marley, what is it, though? Is it the Dodgers and sort of their depth? Is it their pitching staff? Or
it's a combination of all, right? It's all about, I mean, we always talk about, especially in the NFL, we always say, right, that the best defense is a great offense.
Right.
We're always like the principles of war that you have to do, you know, the whole like offense. That's what these two teams do. Not only can they, you know, can they pitch very well, and at least each one of these teams has minimum two great pitchers, right? Minimum two out of the five. And I'm being, you know, a little bit less than kind to the Dodgers because they did, you know, lose two of their aces. But then at the same time, you know, they can also hit. So it doesn't matter if they're like a bunch of strikeout victims and so on. We saw what these teams did last year alongside the Astros and the amount of wins that all these teams piled up together. And both teams only improved upon everything that they had. So that's what it is. It's a team that can hit in all cylinders, right? We can see the Mets can be kind of dangerous in that way, too. But if we look around, like a team like the Rays, just fantastic pitching, but their hitting can be suspect. And then it just happens the other way. These are the two teams that I see as the most balanced ones.
Yeah, Marley, it is. I think you said something about they're just due. I think there is something to that. And I think that's very common.
I think Angelinos are very happy to hear me say that.
Well, here's the reality. It's common and very, very much in sports. And I think, Kirk, you can probably share a similar sentiment. It takes losing to finally win. And I think what's fortunate for the Dodgers is the way that they've been built over the years is sustainable. And unfortunate for a lot of other franchises or teams in certain sports, maybe you only get one crack at it. Maybe it was you had two opportunities and then that's it. It was over. For the Dodgers, there is something about being there every single year. And, you know, for this season, where everybody's still saying, okay, here's an overwhelming favorite, they're obviously not building for this one opportunity. This is something that's been long-term. It's sustainable. I think there's something to what you're saying about they're due. Eventually, you get through that, you know, you get through that wall. And if it happens this year, certainly it won't be out of luck. It's something that's being built over years.
Well, one of the things that is very important and we have seen happen, particularly most recently with the Kansas City Royals, is that any team, and I want to tell you guys because I'm about to go into a tunnel just in case I lose you.
Okay.
So it's one of those things that I would like to give you a heads up. Hopefully,
thank you. Thank you.
But one of those things that happens is that when teams go to the World Series the previous year and then they lose, the next year they come out, you know, with a mission. And that's exactly what we saw happen in the case of the Royals, right? Like that,
yes.
They went to the World Series, they got humiliated. So then the next year by the San Francisco Giants, and in 15, they do the same thing to the New York Mets. So I hope that that is what happens with the Dodgers. I'm not saying that I'm rooting for the Dodgers, because obviously in my position, you know, everyone asks me, what do you root for? And I always say I root for the home team because they play three innings, you know, three outs less. So that's sort of what we do in terms of time of game. And I root for my own stories. But when you see the Dodgers get there, led by one of the classiest and nicest men in baseball and Dave Roberts, you can't like not root for them. It has been so heartbreaking what has happened to, you know, I mean, certainly Cleveland Indians fans and other teams are going to, you know, have a fight with me talking about heartbreak in terms of wins in comparison to the Dodgers. But it is time. A team that talented, it's time for them to win.
Marley, question, not about Dodgers, not about Yankees, Royals. It's about a player. Will Jose Altuve, will he make it? Will he last this season? Will he make it? Will he make it out alive?
You know what? I have to say that we know it's really funny. We get all these kinds of emails. I'm sure you guys get a lot more than I do because you're a lot, more famous than I am. I get emails all the time from called prop bets, right? Which are these random bets that people bet on. And one of the most famous prop bets right now is how many Astros will get hit per game.
Wow.
It really is.
What's the number at? I'll take the over.
It's 3.5.
Oh, really? Wow.
I think it was 3.5 right now, whether you took the under or the over. I don't remember if they did it per week or per game at this point, but I mean, they're just very lucky that there's not going to be fans in the ballpark. But at the same time, teams have taken issue with what they did, and they consider them cheaters. And it is something that is not going to be surprising. Now, I do hope that this doesn't go on too long. I understand that, they're upset, and I understand that, when sportsmanship, guys in baseball, it's such a clique. It's such a, the thin blue line that we talk about in, police. Baseball is like that, and they crossed it. And then, it's almost like we have to punish you guys for doing this. But come on, let's not do this, way too long. This isn't what the season is about, particularly in a pandemic. You can't get like that. You can't get petty, right? At this point, it's about putting on a really good show, staying healthy, following the rules, and then we're going to crown a coronavirus champion. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Marley Rivera, national baseball writer and reporter for ESPN, taking some time to join the Sliwa Show. Marley, what's going to hurt those Astros players more than anything else?
They'll just
never get the respect from the players and their peers and their fans. And I think, over time, you're always going to think of those players, Springer or Altuve, as you were mentioning, that's how we're always going to remember them. So it is, I think, one of those, yes, they have a World Series championship. Yes, Minute Maid Park, there's a banner there. But no one will ever give them the respect. And I really think that's probably going to be something that eats at these players for, for their lives. That's what they're going to be remembered for.
I have to say, I understand that point, and I do think that every fan of baseball has to individually choose how they're going to approach that. But I disagree with it. And the reason why I disagree with it is very simple. There's only so many things you can do when the pitch is coming. I understand that there's a system. And I have talked to a lot of these guys. And in a weird way, a lot of other teams that consider them quote-unquote cheaters, one player, a really famous Cy Young winning pitcher, told me, you know what it is? They're all upset because they didn't figure it out first. So there is a point where there is, quote-unquote legal sign stealing. It is part of the game. It is part of this strategy. The Astros crossed the line because they had an organized sign stealing scheme. That's all it is. So then, but I have heard from plenty of players. I mean, you're in the right. Let's be very clear. But I've also heard plenty of players say that they have the same respect for these guys, that they're not going to lose respect for guys like Jose Altuve, who is, with the numbers right now, a Hall of Famer. I understand what you guys mean. Let's say it's something that will follow them and that will be a dark stain in their history, but it should not affect what Jose Altuve has done. He is one of the greatest second basemen that we've seen during this, and if they cheated during one year, he shouldn't negate his entire career. Now, that is for every fan to choose, right? Every fan has a right to think what they want about the Astros.
What do you think about no fans, though? We've seen it so far. We've heard some of the piped-in crowd noise. To me, just...
Well, we've been in there. I have to tell you, the piping crowd noise is very strange. It sounds like if you have a sound machine by your bed. That's exactly what it sounds like. It sounds like a white noise machine. And it's very strange. It's also a little bit delayed because they set it up for television, which has a second or 2 second delay, always the broadcast. So, for example, Luke Voit hit a home run yesterday. I'm sorry, a double yesterday in the second inning. It's the Yankees. You just assume home runs all the time. So he hits a double, and I had no idea. I was doing my ESPN report, and then I heard the roaring, quote-unquote, of the fake crowd to know that Luke had hit, this double. So it's really interesting how it's an environment that is eerie. It's kind of creepy. They can hear everything that you say or laugh. Like a ball fell in the press box yesterday. and we started all clapping, and a lot of players stood up and, like, looked our way. So it is a very strange situation, but I do think that a lot of teams are going to get used to it, and they're also going to handle it very well. The professional teams, it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, that demarcation between the two kinds of teams, the ones that are affected by having no fans and the ones that can, you know, Aaron Boone said these words yesterday, that can use that as their advantage. It doesn't mean that you would prefer to play with no fans. Absolutely not. But what they mean by using it as an advantage is not needing the crowd, not needing that energy to just start it up yourself. So it's very interesting. And all I have to tell you guys is it's going to be sad to be in an opening day, you know, with zero fans in there. But at the same time, this is what we have to do. If you want to play sports in a pandemic, then this is what we have to do.
Well, I'll tell you, Marley, I 100%, you know, I get it. I mean, we have a game on right now, Dodgers and Angels, and it is, you know, it's unfortunate to just look around and you don't see any fans there. I got to imagine the TV audience will be insane. I mean, I'm assuming this, right? We'll have to wait and see.
I hope so.
at least, you know, from a fan perspective and – you know, for most out there that are baseball fans, or whether they're avid fans or they're more, this is their second sport or third sport, you got to imagine they're going to be tuning in. I want to ask you, and we'll leave you with this one, just final question. How are you feeling about just the structure, the testing, and getting through this 60-game season to where, you know, we'll eventually potentially crown a World Series champ? Are you feeling better about it today than you were a couple days ago, or you have no idea really what to expect?
That's the answer. I'm feeling better about it. If you asked me this question a week ago, I would have been greatly concerned. I heard from a lot of players that were not getting tested even. Entire week had passed. And we saw the cancellations and the delays that happened in the workouts in so many teams because of the lack of access, or, you know, whatever, the people at the lab, you know, took a holiday and didn't process, which they deserve. But then we need to plan these things, right, correctly in order to be safe here. But that has improved, and it has improved greatly. And it is encouraging to see. It's almost like, you know, you hear, I think the last number, and I don't want to misquote kind of the numbers, but they're getting close to 30,000 tests at this point, and it's really, really small, the extra that they have found of positives. So it means that what they're doing, it's working, that the social distancing is working, that all the methods that they've taken, which are very, very extensive. I mean, it's a 111-page document, you know, of protocols. I read every word of it, and I can tell you it's really, really comprehensive. So I do feel better about it, but I'm not 100% sure that it's going to work. And one of the things when we talked about in the beginning of this conversation about striking the balance, when we hear stories of Americans that are out there not getting tested and then, you know, having to wait in hours, you know, hours and hours to get a test, and then athletes have such free access to testing, then it gets a little bit, you know, tough to see it in those terms. But, you know, it is necessary for the league to do this at this point for sports to sort of matter. Actually, every league has to do it. And MLB, they've done a good job. And that's actually, we're seeing it on the field.
Marley, can't tell you how much we appreciate it. Always enjoy the conversation, and it's great insight.
This is the good thing about a four-hour drive to Washington, D.C., so don't worry.
No, just text me and Kirk your road schedule, and we'll text you every time you're on the road.
You got it. I'll text you guys.
Safe travels.
Right. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. And, have a great night, guys. Thanks
enjoy opening day. All right. All right, that's Marley Rivera, national baseball writer and reporter for ESPN. Kirk, that's the way to do it. If you can get people – when they're traveling like that.
Oh, yeah.
This Orlando bubble, I've been grabbing reporters left and right. They're just sitting in the bubble at night. They're like, yeah, I got nothing to do until, you know, next morning or next practice. But there's a couple things that I want to hit on from what Marley just mentioned. By the way, Mark Teixeira, who was on a little bit earlier this morning on Get Up, talked about Mookie Betts. I want to hit on that a little bit. We didn't get a chance to talk about Gavin Lux, so he was optioned earlier today. So we'll stay on the Dodgers front coming up next. Stay right here. Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Thank you to Marley Rivera. And coming up at 8 o'clock, excited to have Mark Spears, senior NBA writer for ESPN's The Undefeated. So he's inside the bubble. Kirk, let's stay on the let's stay on the baseball front for a quick second.
Yeah.
A lot of things to kind of take from that interview. I'm not shocked, but for somebody who covers the Yankees, and you know, obviously most of her work is done in the AL East and just on the East Coast there, not a shock that she says, you know what, the talent that the Dodgers and the Yankees have, everybody's picking these two teams, one of these two teams win the World Series, and she said that's who she has in the World Series. But I wasn't too shocked that she picked the Dodgers to win it all, but that definitely shows you somebody that's being honest, especially because she covers the Yankees.
Yeah, I think she's being honest because everyone feels the same. I think everyone feels that the Dodgers they're overdue. They're long overdue. They've been through the heartache. They've been through the pain. They've been to World Series, and they
takes
have not
those
come
losses.
Home.
And if there's one thing the Dodgers have done, like, you know, when people say, I always think of the NBA. Kirk, you watched the Last Dance, right?
Correct.
Okay. I always think of those moments where Jordan, how much he was losing. Like, he had to lose against the Celtics and the Pistons again till he finally got over that hump, right? And I say him, what I'm really referring to is the Chicago Bulls. Kobe and Shaq lost 4 years in a row together before they went on and won 3 NBA championships. Kobe lost to the Celtics with Powell and then won 2 championships after that, one of them against the Celtics. Doesn't it feel, I mean, I think for the Dodgers, they're almost overdue. Like, they've almost lost too much. But like I said, this is a franchise. They're not built off one lucky, you know, they get one run at it or one shot at it, a World Series. This is a sustainable thing. So I think the expectations are obviously there for them to win, and anything but a World Series is going to be disappointing. And I don't say that to put pressure on the Dodgers. They're just that stacked and that good.
Yeah, I think so. They're that stacked. They're good. Everyone knows what they have now. They've got the talent. We know the names. And it's just about, you know, I think coming through now. It really is. It's about them just coming all the way
delivering.
Through.
Delivering. That's it.
Delivering and making it happen. And you mentioned it. It takes some of those moments to figure out, you know, how to, when you get back there, what it takes, right? I've talked about that. We always mention it with NBA players, but for the Dodgers, I think it's a little bit different because they have been there and they've had, you know, obviously the instances with the Astros and what came out later, right? And so it made you feel a little bit better, but the loss still hurts. And so now you're in a situation where it's championship or bust. I mean, straight up. I mean, the division titles have been great. They've been fun to hang up a banner. But after a while, you're like, look, man, I don't want this anymore. I want to win it all. And I think that's the mindset that you have to have this season, right? In a 60-game season, it's how do we put our best foot forward and take care of business? Nothing, no excuses. That's what it has to be, no excuses. Like I had a coach who's always say this, Alan. He says, look, I am out of the my bad business, meaning I don't want to hear it. There's no my bads right here. This year, it's no excuses at all.
How many times do you say that, Kirk? I don't know about you. Every time playing basketball, that's my bad.
Oh,
that's
man, my bad. Right, my there. Bad.
That's my
and
bad.
My coach is like, I'm tired of it. I'm out of the my bad business.
My
I
bad,
am
guys.
Out of the my bad business.
My bad
ain't
for
no,
saying
ain't
my
no
bad.
My bads. Ain't no my bads. We gonna get it fixed the first time. We're going to do it right the first time. No my bads today. I said, all right, coach, no my bads.
So we all know, by the way, in 2 days, Dodgers, 48 hours, Dodgers will have already started their 60-game season. And we know how important just getting off to a good start is going to be. And I say that because you just have 60 games. Each game is worth 2.7 games in 162 schedule. So that's the equivalent there. So it's almost every game is the equivalent of 3 losses or 3 wins. That's kind of crazy when you
– So you win, you're like, we sweep.
That's
sweep.
It. We sweep. That's it. But
you win 3 in a row. It's a 3-game – it's a 9-game winning streak.
That's it. But Mark Teixeira, he was on a little bit earlier on Get Up, and I think this is a perfect way to, you know, kind of – not just for the Dodgers, because everybody feels the Dodgers are just going to dominate, at least in the regular season. Postseason is going to be the question. But here's Mark Teixeira talking about just how important each game is going to be.
You can't have a bad week once the season starts. Think about this. Every game is basically worth 3 in a 60-game season. So if you have a bad turn through the rotation, where for 5 days in a row your starting pitchers just don't have it, that's like losing 15 games in a row. It can destroy a season, so it's not just a bad start, but it's a bad week that you cannot have in this 60-game sprint. a cold bats, a bad pitching rotation. Anybody that has a bad week is going to have a bad season.
All right, that's Mark Teixeira right there. So one of the things also to keep in mind, this was a conversation that went on today. And I think it was a surprise, but this also just shows you there's a combination to this. Gavin Lux optioned earlier today, so he's not going to be part of the 30-man roster.
Right.
Kirk, the best way to put it is one of the compliments of taking a young player like Gavin Lux just shows just how stacked you are, because probably who's going to play second, you'll have Kike Hernandez, you'll have Chris Taylor. Maybe Kike gets more opportunities there at second. But I say this because this is a player that I think most people thought there's a great likelihood he's going to be a part of that 30-man roster. But part of this also has to do with the fact that Dodgers delay Lux's free agency by a year if they wait until sometime around early August. For me, I took it as this way. I just took it that this team is so stacked and they can do things like this because whether he's in the lineup or not, it's not like there aren't other players that can play that role.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. I think obviously the Dodgers are more stacked than they've ever been. It's the depth. When you have depth, you're able to bring up players slowly. You can actually plan them for the future, right?
Many teams can't do that in the league.
No, right, right. Mm-hmm. Many teams, when you have a player like Gavin Lux, okay, we need him to play right away. And so I think the Dodgers are looking at other players who they've brought up, and they've said, hey, let's not bring him up too fast. Bring him up when we feel like he is all the way ready. You know what I mean? To a point where he can play a game or a 162 in a 60-game season. You want to keep the confidence level high. You want to make sure that, look, a guy can maintain his batting streak, his fielding streak. You want to make sure that you can maintain all of that.
Mentally confident, too. You know what I mean?
That's the hard part. It really is. Mm-hmm. It's different. And I say same thing with the NFL. All right? It's going to be tough for young players. And if you're going to go down, if I'm Dave Roberts, I'm going down with my veterans. I'm going out with the guys I know. I'm going down to guys who have been there with me, who have played in these World Series, who have played in these, the most important games. I got to go down with those guys because those are the guys I trust. Those are the guys that know what I expect, know what I want. And no offense to my younger players, but that's the way that some of these older coaches who have been there before. Dave Roberts has won a World Series before. He understands what it took when, they were down when he was in Boston. It's the older veterans that can look you in the eye and say, Coach, we got this. All right, Skip, we got this.
So just because Dave Roberts was part of a team that came back from 3-0 in the AL championship, you think he – no, I'm just kidding. That was one of the most incredible – by the way, did you ever watch that 30 for 30? What was it called?
I did.
That's one of the best 30 for 30s. Yeah. And that storyline, how it all happened, obviously Dave Roberts a part of that. Okay, we got some important critical news that has just come down in about the last half hour on the NBA front. Kirk, when you and I – we started the show at 6:30. It's 7:30 right now. You can only imagine how much burning stuff I have inside of me that I want to talk about from the NBA standpoint. So when we come back, can we do a little NBA here?
Talk a little NBA. Let's do it.
I got some bubble news coming up. A very important player for a championship contending team has left the bubble. I'll explain what I'm talking about there and we come back. Plus, is this LeBron's best chance to win an NBA championship? This was a conversation all over today on 710 ESPN. Mason and Island talked about it. But there's also these polls on ESPN.com with a lot of these NBA experts. So a lot of questions around LeBron James and the remainder of his career. So we'll get into that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison.